In season 4 of episode 1, we talked about guilt in different layers. We talked about guilt as a consequence in the way that we prioritize people back home in relation to our life abroad. We talked about guilt as repair when we contributed in a way to a rupture in a relationship, so the breakdown of a relationship. And then we talked about guilt as a need for things to change. And if you haven't listened to that episode yet, I highly recommend it. And I would also tune into this one because we are going to delve into the somatic dimensions of guilt, which means understanding how guilt is expressed at a body level and then what we can do to counteract those feelings so that we can actually feel in a bit better. So I hope you stay tuned because I think you're in for a treat. Welcome to a new episode of We Are Here Too on Mental Health Abroad. My name is Francesca and I'm your host. And as I said, today we're going to talk about guilt and how we experience guilt in the body. Why is it important to talk about guilt from the body perspective? Understanding how the body reacts under stress, under certain types of stress, can give us like some insight in terms of what type of resources we can tap into to actually overcome that stress. So in the case of guilt, there are two networks in the brain that get activated and that they cause the symptoms that we can associate to the feeling of guilt. One of these networks is associated with our ability to understand what's going on for us physically. So when we experience all of those symptoms related to our digestive system, respiratory system, you know, muscle tension, and at the same time, it's the network that gets activated when we are doing absolutely nothing and we're resting. The other network instead is the one that connects to our excessive introspective processing. In other words, guilt makes us feel anxious, dysregulated, so our emotions are all over the place and we feel like we have no controls over them. We have possibly like outburst of anger and our tolerance lowers. At the same time, our thoughts are going into a loop and that loop doesn't look good, right? Because it's full of thoughts about the things that we've done wrong, about the people that we wronged, about how we could have done better. We start going into like this spiral that actually is trapping us. We may experience intrusive memories and also nightmares. How many of you has actually woken up in the middle of the night or struggled with sleeping pattern at times when they felt guilt? It happened to me, for sure. And so you can see how these two different networks together are a bit of a disaster. You know, how actually they are putting us in a place that every time that we rest, our body and our mind get activated, creating, for sure, a certain level of distress. When the body is under stress, we activate a series of mechanisms that would allow us to detect threat. And guilt does activate those mechanisms. And so we cope in four different categories, if we want to call them that way. And these are like known as coping strategies or survival strategies. So we would either fight, flight, freeze, or fawn. And when we live abroad, this is like very interesting, like has a spin to this way of coping. So when we experience guilt and we are in fight, most likely we are irritable. We have anger outbursts. we have a lower tolerance of everything else that is happening in our life. So, for example, we feel guilty because we didn't manage to get home for the holidays with our family. And then every time the topic of going back home for the holidays comes up, we just struggled to have a conversation where we do not feel so incredibly overwhelmed by this sense of like anger, unjust. We don't feel understood, but the body is flooded. It's flooded with all of these emotions that they're coming or they're sourcing from partially this sense of guilt that was triggered at the beginning. When we are in flight, we run away from the source of the problem because that problem causes a threat that the body perceives as such. And when there is threat, we just don't want to be nearby it. And so we move away. And that for us can look like we stop calling, we stop interacting. Maybe we avoid visiting as often because the sense of guilt is so overwhelming that it's best dealt with in small, tiny doses and not very often. The unfortunate side of this is that when we live abroad, our social networks tend to shrink and expand every so often. And if we're feeling guilty at a time when our social network has just shrunk, we are left completely isolated. And if we are isolated, and there is nothing much going on in our life, and so we are leaving the body in that state of passive rest. If you remember what I said earlier in the episode, basically that's such a fertile ground for us to go into ruminating what happened and then giving space to more and more intrusive thoughts. But the thing about this is that it happens at such instinctual level that it feels like we have absolutely no control over it. And again, I'd like to remind you that we are continuously negotiating what is best for us. Maybe logically, it makes absolutely no sense. But in terms of our body knows what we need in that moment to survive. And if surviving guilt is by withdrawing, that's what the body goes for. The problem or the difficulties come in when actually, you know, time passes, everyone moves on, and you are left with a mind and a body who are still in that place that is experiencing threat when there is no more real threats, is just perceived. And, you know, and this is like very debilitating. The other way of coping, as I mentioned before, is like freeze. Freeze has everything to do with how these experiences stay longer in our body because we feel like we cannot move at all. And the best way for us is to do nothing at all. I understand that we may not like this and it may contribute to feeling like I'm weak, I'm worth nothing, you know, I could have done something but I didn't, and then feed into this series of intrusive thoughts that are basically like eating you alive. But freeze has a purpose. It always has a purpose in life. Freeze allows us not to feel pain. And it also allows us a way out. It has a purpose. But our logical brain doesn't agree with it. But our body does. Like, the message that I want to communicate today is that our bodies are so incredibly clever that they're gonna do what's best for the entire body, whilst our mind, they're doing what's best for us, but at times they really don't, in a way, they do not necessarily connect to our bodies, and they just push through because of narratives. While our bodies cannot push through any narrative at all, if we are scared and our first response to a certain type of fears is freeze, we are not going to move. But that does not mean that we're never going to move. It simply means that that's what we learned until we unlearn it and learn something different. The fourth and last coping strategy is fawning. Fawning is fundamentally people-pleasing. And if you haven't done so, after this episode, please go and listen to episode 2 of season 3 on people-pleasing while living abroad. I think that would be so interesting to listen back to after this episode. But basically what we do with fawning, and why fawning is so important for as a coping strategy, is because fawning secures us belonging. And without belonging, we cannot survive. There is no living species that can survive in isolation. So fawning is fundamentally key to our survival. And how does that come about? And last week we talked all about people pleasing. So we tend to overcompensate. So for example, going back to the initial example about, like, you know, family members are asking us to go back home to the home country during the holidays. We cannot go, and so we decide, well, you know what, I cannot make it this time around. I'm gonna come and see you once a month for the next 5 years. I know, I'm exaggerating about this, but it's all about, like, overcompensating and doing more and more and more and more and more and more and more, to the point that we start regretting it, because maybe these people are fine after the first time, or maybe they were fine eventually, even without you trying hard to compensate. But what your body and your mind do not know in that moment when you're overly compensating is that actually the threat disappeared. The solution to the sense of guilt is not to get busy, although that would totally make sense, considering that when our body is in passive rest, we actually get intrusive thoughts. Okay, like, we've confirmed that the networks in the brain that are connected to the sense of guilt would cause that if we're doing nothing. And so doing something would actually help. But that's not necessarily the best way forward, because we risk really to burn out, so we can avoid feeling guilty. The solution here is not to get busy, as we said, but to learn how to tell our bodies that there's no threat anymore, so that it doesn't feel under stress to the point of overwhelm. I am a big advocate for seeking out support when needed. And if you feel like guilt is really eating you alive, please do reach out. I'm not saying this because I'm a counselor myself necessarily, but I do think that everything that is relational can be healed in relationships. And meeting with a mental health professional can really give you the space to explore whatever you need in an environment that is really judgment-free and where you actually have time to do so, because no one else has any other agenda than supporting you to get to the other side of it. That said, there are a few things that you could try and do at home in your own time with the hope to find a bit of ease. The science behind these exercises is quite simple, and what I'm going to share, though, is a bit generic. Every exercise has its own specifics, let's say. But the idea behind it is that like it triggers the body to go into a more relaxed state. And because the body goes into a more relaxed state, then it can signal to the mind that there is no threat. And so all of those like intrusive thoughts diminish. And so the physical symptoms that we've associated to guilt. First exercise is all about breathing. Basically, what we're trying to do is trying to control the breathing. So eventually it will decrease our heart rate. And by decreasing our heart rate, we will signal that we are in a calm state, in a state of rest. And the body does not perceive threat, as mentioned earlier. The idea is like we are going to work through the box breathing exercise. Box breathing because we are inhaling for four. We are holding the breath for four, exhaling for four, holding the breath for four. If that's difficult, feel free to change the counting for what suits you. It could be three each. It could be 6 seconds each. It doesn't matter. But it needs to be done for quite a few times, okay? Don't get discouraged if it doesn't happen straight away. Give it at least like a minute. Exercise number two is all about exposure to different temperatures. There are two variations of this depending on what it is that you need. If you need to reset, you can go to the toilet and splash some cold water. That's cold water exposure. You know, if you'd rather go and do cold water dipping in a loch in the north of Scotland, go ahead. You do you, and I know that works great. But for the others who are not necessarily that inclined, you can just splash water, and that would do. The other variation is that actually you hold your hands together, you gently wrap them. You notice the sensations, what's going on there. And then once you are feeling a bit of warmth, you put the palms of your hands on your eye sockets and you just leave them there. Also, a reminder that every exercise that you do, you are invited to pay attention to the body and what's going on with the body. How it is to put your hands, for example, under the cold water, and collect the water with your hands. And how does it feel, the cold water on your face, on your cheeks, on your forehead, on your nose, on your lips? And same goes when you're actually creating warmth by rubbing your hands gently. How does that feel in your hands? And how does that feel in your face? Exercise number three is all about movement. I'm aware, I acknowledge that we all move differently and we access movement differently. And so there are a few ideas that you may be interested in exploring. Idea number one could be just, you know, shaking. You just shake your upper body and lower body just for a wee while and see what happens with it. Other ideas may be bouncing around, dancing, going for a walk, doing a bit of light exercise, yoga, do some sport, whatever works for you in whatever way. Although the experience of guilt is universal, me and you, we will go through that differently, even if physiologically, we are activating the same parts of the brain, the same network, the same physiological responses. But I know what works for me and you know what works for you based on our past life experiences and histories in dealing with these type of things. And here we are again at the end of another episode. I hope you liked it, and please, if you're enjoying this content, just review it. I would be really, really grateful, and connect. I love to hear how the podcast is impacting you and share it with everyone. Thank you very much, guys, for staying, and see you next week. Bye.